With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments. Get started at chime.com/build. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A., members FDIC. Results may vary. See chime.com for details. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details.
From Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio at Three Falls Cabin in the North Georgia Mountains, it's time for O'Neill Outside. For anything in the outdoors, this is your source. Listen in and call the show with your comments or questions. And now, here's O'Neill.
It's 6 after the hour. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside with an unused Saturday morning. We've got another hour of outdoors headed your way. No politics, no advice other than those subjects. And I hope that you'll join us. The telephone numbers, should you want to do that, in Atlanta are 404-872-0750, and across the country on the SB, the Sports Broadcast Nation, the number is 800-972-8255. I'm proud to tell you this program is brought to you every Saturday morning by Works Tools, Stripling's General Store, Tough Shed, Snellville Heating and Air, Rocco's Pub, Georgia Department of Natural Resources, Historic Sites and State Parks, Big Green Egg, True Turn Hooks, and Roadrunner Lures. And I would invite you to go to O'Neill Outside, the website. You can purchase O'Neill Outside book there, and I'll sign it for you. And you can watch our television show on Fox networks across the country, Waypoint TV, The Hunt Channel, Pursuit Up, Destination Go, Carbon TV, My Outdoor TV. You can watch O'Neill Outside whenever you want to, including the website at O'NeillOutside.com. Just click right there and you can watch all of the programs on the video on demand networks so that you get the billboard, you get the introduction, then you get the show. So do that if you can, and I'll enjoy the fact that you're doing that. And we've got a lot of things to do today. We have the Medal of Honor in this hour. We have the radio prize package, and we have more of your tips. And I want to know from you today, if you had people coming over this evening, and you were going to cook something on the Big Green Egg, or you were going to make a special Swaggerty sausage recipe, what would it be? Ribs, steak, filet, burgers, fish, spaghetti? What would it be? I'd love to know. This is O'Neill. And right after this break, we'll come back and we'll really get started. I promise. I'll be back.
Kept the buzz to fill the hole. Love the lies, stole the show.
You're into the second hour of O'Neill Outside every Saturday morning, 4 to 6 a.m., the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the country. Now let's talk right now to, let's talk to Hank the Yank. What do you say, my good friend?
Well, I'm sad this morning. I woke up, I heard we lost the gambler.
You heard what, sir?
We lost the gambler. Kenny Rogers.
Oh, yes, yeah, Kenny Rogers. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, he was 81 years old.
Big part of everybody's lifetime throughout the years growing up, you know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that was sad.
Absolutely, yeah. Kenny Rogers.
Well, listen, first, so, I'm going to give you a fishing report. Fishing report is Lanier for the fly fisherman is good. Fishing has actually been pretty good.
Oh,
there's two patterns for guys. If you're fishing, you want to fish, especially on the south end of Lanier below, the Browns Bridge. You want to be fishing the backs of all the creeks. Mm-hmm. That's where the fly rotter can pick some stripers, some white bass, and some spots. They're up shallow. You want to use intermediate lines, which sink very slowly, throw up on the bank, and keep moving. And they're in all the creeks. They're, every one of them has fish in it. If you want to fish,
following the bait, aren't they?
They really are. The bait, you know, the water temp is about 57, 58 degrees. It's really warmed up in the last week. The fish have gotten active again. The bait is in the backs of the creeks where it's warmest, and that's what they're looking to do is, you know, bait the threadfin love. If it's 1 or 2 degrees warmer in the back of the cove, versus over the open water. That's what they're gonna. That's where they're gonna migrate to. They look for the most comfortable water temperature coming out of the winter that they could find. The stripers, on the other hand, are getting ready to make their spawning run at 56, 57. They head north. Some of them have probably already done that. The vast majority will start. So if you are going to fish above Browns Bridge, you need to be looking in open water on the main channel, the main lake channel. And then if you're going to striper fish, you want to be looking for surfacing fish. We still have some gulls around. We'll have them for another month. You know, we'll have the little Bonaparte gulls. And that will be the clue as to where the fish are. Look for herons on the point. Look for loons diving underwater in a very confined area. Those are all the signs to tell you where the fish are. First light and last light are always best. And so, and there's a ton of spotted bass up on the banks now getting ready to pre-spawn. So it's a really good time.
Oh, it's time to go, huh?
If you need the social distance, this is the perfect thing to do. This is one of the things you can do to social distance and have a good time. Mm-hmm. So fishing has been good, but now, as per your question, let me give you what I would be putting on the green egg if it were me. I would be doing Corona kebabs. Corona kebabs is what we call it, and that's because it's really easy, and you need recipes to be Corona-free these days since everybody's cooking at home. So here's what you do. You take your meat and you cut it into chunks, whether it's filet, sirloin, whatever. Whatever steak you like, even venison, and you put it in a Tupperware dish the night before and soak it in French dressing. The next day you get up, when it's time to put your kebabs together, you take your skewers out and you put on one piece of meat followed by a cherry tomato, followed by a little pepper, green and yellow, followed by some onion, and then followed again in the same order with the kebab, with the meat. And just put that on your green egg and keep ladling as you're cooking it. Just keep on just brushing on the French dressing that was in the Tupperware dish. When French dressing gets on a high heat, it coagulates into the meat. And I am telling you, it is the most delicious and easy recipe. Serve it over yellow or white rice and you're done. Corona kebabs.
I'm going to do that.
What do you think?
Sounds great.
We need to hear. We need to hear from all the listeners if they've got easy recipes for us over the next 2 months because we're all cooking.
Yeah, we're inside, that's for sure.
So I think it's a great
idea. Hey, that's a good report. And, you know, and your report, it holds the same thing for Lake Guntersville and Hartwell and Russell and all the lakes in western North and South Carolina and even East Tennessee. It's the same thing, isn't it?
It's happening on every lake except Altoona.
Yeah.
Because it's the Dead Sea. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Robert Edson, if you're listening, I'm kidding.
Yeah, that's right. I wonder who started that Dead Sea thing.
I don't know, but it's we've had fun with that for, what, 20 years
that's
already?
That's right. I hate to lay claim to it, but it might have been me.
It could have been
because
you.
Because I fished a tournament there back in my tournament days 40-something years ago, and I caught 51 bass, and they were all too small to weigh.
Well,
I zeroed.
You know your old saying, a fish don't know where they live unless it's Altoona.
Have a great weekend, pal. Great
you
call.
You too, pal. Okay, you
see
take
you later.
Care.
There you go. That's good. There's nothing like something from Henry to get us started. Now, who's up next? Now let's talk to Chris in Canton. He's talking about fishing for white bass. Good morning, Chris. What do you say?
Hey, good morning, O'Neill.
Hey.
Hey, took my grandson up on the river, and Hank just said something about the striper, so that sort of answered one of my questions. You know, I was trying to figure out the white bass. We were catching some, but nothing like we have. Do the white bass and stripers run like, you know, the deer rut all the time? I've heard you say that. So I've got it dotted down exactly when they rut. Mm-hmm. Do they do the same as far as the spawning?
Yes.
Same time every year?
Yeah. According to the hours of daylight and the temperature, that is correct. But they'll,
the
they will the white bass and stripers will endure the colder water, but they react to the number of hours of daylight, and as those daylight hours increase, then they will make their run up the river.
Okay, so the main run has not happened yet. Is that what you're thinking?
It's just started. That is correct.
Just started. Okay. We caught just, I'll give me one day, but then nothing the next day, a couple. And I thought, well, have we missed it?
So, yeah, they just moved.
Okay. That's what I wanted to know.
Once they're up the river, they're going to stay there.
And we're fishing the Dead Sea.
Yeah, other than the Dead Sea, yeah.
we're on the Etowah, so we live up this way. But anyway, so okay, I appreciate that.
You bet. That's what I tell you what. Now, another thing about white bass. Okay, I'm glad you're going. I'm glad you're taking the kids. But one of the things about white bass, they are cyclical. One year you'll have a lot. The next year you'll have a little bit fewer, the next year fewer, and the next year fewer, and then the next year there might be a lot of them.
Oh.
They're like rabbits. I mean, you got abundance of rabbits, then 2 years later you don't have any. They're cyclical. So if you're getting up river and it's not like it was 2 years ago, it's because of that.
Oh, okay. I did not know that.
And there's not a thing to do about it, but most of the time, if they're not where you caught them the previous week, it's just because they went further up the river.
Oh, okay.
And so,
great.
Good eating.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
A white bass, you bet. A white bass... A male and a female striper is what gets together and makes a hybrid.
Okay.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, I've asked you in years past about eating. I mean, you said it's because, you know, the Altoona is not the cleanest leg. Of course, a lot of them aren't, but you said they're fine because I do catch crappie up here. And you said you could eat so many. So, appreciate it, O'Neill.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right, boy. See you later here. Have a great weekend. Right. There you go. All right. I got to go to a break here, and then we'll come back with the radio prize package, and we'll talk to Mac and Larry and Wade and everybody. This is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside and Works Radio every Saturday morning, WSB and the sports broadcast SB Nation. And we'll be back.
Before the winter lets the cold in.
25 after the hour, we've got a lot of calls. We want to get to them before we have our special segments in the program. First of all, let's talk to Mac. He's been holding on quite a while. What do you say, my good friend?
Good morning, O'Neill. How are you?
Hello, Mac.
Hey, I'm here.
Good. Did you fish all week?
Most of it, I sure did.
Did you fish all week? Good. Did you catch them? Did you catch him, Mac? Have I lost Mac? Well, fiddlesticks. I lost Mac, evidently. Well, instead of that, then, let's talk to Larry. He's calling from Morrow, Georgia. Good morning, Larry. What do you say?
What's going on, O'Neill?
Yeah, you're it, man.
I'm it. Okay, well, okay, that's good enough. I'm just wondering what you heard about crappie fishing on Lake Oconee. Are the crappie still in deep water, or are they up on the bank, or a little of both? What you heard about that?
Well, it's a little of both. The late spawners are still on the bank, but not many. They've already spawned. The big females have already spawned, and they're headed out to the deep brush and underneath the docks and standing timber and things of that nature. So it's a mixed bag. It's late March already, so a generous portion of that's already happened. That was shallow, because you know when they get started in February up tight, they stay there until it's done.
Well, shoot! It sounds like I waited too long again. Oh well.
Yeah, you waited too long. Doggone it!
I'm going to try it anyway. I'm sure there's still quite a few.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, O'Neill. Take care, and I'll call you again someday.
Yeah, please do that. I always enjoy your calls. There you go. Let's see, 27 after the hour. Here, let's get Mac back on the line. There we go.
Let's try this again.
Mac, what do you say?
Okay. I don't know, buddy. How
good
are you?
Good morning. I'm all right.
Did you press the wrong button a while ago?
No, I know. It was something okay. You did. I don't ever do anything wrong. Okay.
Well, I have a button to press. Anyway, we figured it out now, or whatever Gremlins calls that. Sorry about that. Man, it's time to go fishing. I hope everybody's getting the...
It is, isn't it?
Yeah, if you hadn't been, you need to go. The bite's good, and, of course, we've got a nice day today. Looks like we got a little rain this morning, but that should be out of here. And it's spring, first day of spring, Thursday night, and the fish have responded accordingly. And they're waiting for you this morning.
You bet. They don't know any better, do they?
They don't. It's been the only thing that might throw you off a little bit. Like you said, we're looking at the calendar. It's late March. You're looking at when you flip the hummingbird on, it says 60 or 61 degrees, maybe more, depending on where you're at the time of day. So I think the fish are our water heated up so quickly. I think we're a little behind the curve. The fish are a little bit behind the curve. Yeah, we went from 50 to 58 in just a few days. It's crazy. We also, on Lanier particularly, they pulled Lanier down pretty dramatically in the last 10 days. So there's still some fish out there a little deeper than you might think when you're talking about bass. They're biting. But just factor that in. The striper bite's been good. And the crappie bite, what you just talked about, it's kind of across the board. We think we do have some fish that are spawned out. Have moved, and still it's still a really good dock shooting bite, but it revolves around the docks more than fish up in the brush and the sticks like you might think.
Right.
Just, all in all, right, good, great weather, time to go fishing.
Oh, yes, it is. You got a full schedule this week?
Yes, sir, we do. We're ready to go.
I'll bet you are. Well, one more question. Out of how many days a year do you fish, Mac?
I'm not fishing as much as I was. When I peaked out in, 7-8 years ago, we were doing 300 trips a year. And now the tackle business has grown to the point where I have to pay a little more attention to it. So we'll probably do more like 180 to 200 this year.
Okay. By percentage, how many days are those are stripers?
Hmm. 75, 80. Most
wow,
of the
that's good.
Fishing. Yeah, no, we
I'm
do some bass fishing
that.
Still. Yeah, no, it's good, and all fishing's good. But we'll do get a few trips in the spring where we just specifically target bass, and a few we'll do crappie. But yeah, most of it stripers are the emphasis. No doubt.
And people can find you at Captain Mac.
CaptainMacs.com. CaptainMacs.com.
You bet. Hey, have a great day, pal. Glad you called. Sorry it took so long to get to you.
It's all good. Everybody be safe. Get out on the water. Enjoy this beautiful weather, and we'll talk to you next weekend, buddy.
You bet. See you later, pal.
Bye-bye.
There you go. Okay, now let's see. I've got time for this. Let's talk to Alan is calling from Tallahassee. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I want to... thank you for having that show last week. That was very interesting to listen to those two people about turkey hunting.
It's nice to talk to professionals, isn't it?
The one thing that I learned a lot last weekend was about the predators for the turkey. You know, I always thought it would be coyotes or something like that, but she said it was raccoons, you know.
Right.
Is there a season for raccoons?
Oh yeah, there are raccoon seasons according to the state. Certainly, yes.
Okay.
Some of it's wide open. I think there are possums wide open year round and things like that. But there is a raccoon season.
Oh, okay. Because now instead of shooting coyotes, I have to go shoot raccoons.
That's right. At night.
Yeah. You have to go at night or get you some dogs and chase them during the day or something, or at night too, you know. So, but a buddy of mine, his name is Rascal P. Coltrane. He told me that he says, you know how the best way to get a turkey? I said, well, I'm fixing to learn something here. Rascal's about 100 years old. He says, I said, well, Rascal, how's the best way to get a turkey? And he says, go to Kroger.
Oh, that, hey, that is the cheapest way, that's for sure.
I can't, are you going turkey hunting this year?
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah, it's got a little bit hard on me to go anymore. I can't sit that long anymore because Mother Nature calls me to have to get up and go do something, you know.
I understand. You have to move around.
So, but yeah, I just want to call this morning and see how you're doing. And thank you a lot for having that show last weekend because, I mean, you know, where are you going to get that kind of information, you know, especially from people with that kind of education, you know?
You bet. Well, I'm going to start having the Department of Natural Resources, those interview shows. I'm going to do that 4 times a year pretty soon because I enjoy having them here, too, because they always kind of straighten us out a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I like to say the biggest thing is it keeps people informed on the laws and then, you know, what fees are and, you know, different areas you can hunt legally. I mean, it's great to listen to them and then be able to call in and ask them questions, too. I mean, that's you know, because you don't get that kind of one-on-one, you know, anywhere else with those kind of people.
You bet. All right, pal, listen, glad you called, my good friend, and stay in touch with us. You bet. Here's our friend from John, our friend from New York. Good morning, John.
Yes, greetings from the Catskill Mountains.
Yes, indeed. Good to hear from you. I was hoping you would call today.
Okay, appreciate it. Maple syrup season is in full swing up here, and it's a sweet smell.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Now, well, Neil, when I was a younger man, I wanted to learn as much as I could about the woods. One thing I did every morning before I went to work, I was out in the woods. And especially this time of year, you guys are a little more advanced in the season than we are. We got a whole nother month before it starts getting vocal. But I tracked down every sound that I didn't know. And a field guide and binoculars is what I used. I tracked it down and listened to it and watched it and committed to memory. And it has served me very well over the years. It's an educational process.
It sure, I highly recommend it. Wonderful to hear.
Yep, because when you're out in the woods and the leaves are all on and everything, you can tell what's going on in the woods by just listening. And
yes,
you know,
as a matter of fact, one of the additions to that, or recommendations to get the full effect of that, is shut your own mouth. Be
That's
quiet.
The whole thing. Yep, you better believe it. And you learn quite a bit just by doing that. And it's not
indeed.
Just the birds, it's animals, and even at nighttime, and that's a little venturesome because you're sneaking around in the pitch black trying to track down things and shine the light on them. Boy, that'll get your adrenaline pumping.
Yeah, you can get real close and not know it, can't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like I always say, I'm thankful I could tune in on the radio up here. But you know what? If I turn that radio dial just a little bit, O'Neill, you're speaking French-Canadian.
Oh, my goodness. those rascal Canadians.
That's how critical the fine-tuning on the radio is up here.
Well, yeah. I appreciate you working so hard to try to find us and giving us a call from time to time. I love to hear from you. And And right now I need to go and take a break. You have a great weekend, bud.
Yes, you take care.
You bet. See you soon. There you are. All right, we've got Richard and Wade and everybody else coming up. This is O'Neill with Works Radio, 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255, radio prize package, and the Medal of Honor when we return.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fryer. A cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
At 40 after the hour, this is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. We have a lot of calls. We have the Medal of Honor coming up and the radio prize package. But first, let's talk to Wade. Wade is calling from Kentucky. Good morning, Wade.
Morning, O'Neill. How you doing down there in Georgia?
Outstanding. Are you getting ready to go turkey hunting?
Not this morning. Been seeing a lot of them up here.
Okay.
I was telling you about where I go around that curve up here by that 9-degree angle here. There's like a little old hunting camp there. See them there all the time, good bit.
Uh-huh.
We went by there. Gary got back to St. Louis yesterday. He'd been up there. They had them on lockdown in St. Louis. I was on lockdown in Bowling Green. Left the house one time the whole week.
Oh, boy.
Grocery store.
Oh, boy.
Well, and there's a little package store right beside the grocery store. I had to go by there, too. But
There you go.
I seen them. Went by there yesterday. Me and Gary got in. All right, we're out of milk. We're out of juice. Got to stock up. Going up through there, and we come around that curve, and there's one little old young gobbler out there by himself. He did that like he had lost. I said, that don't look right, Gary.
Oh.
What's that one gobbler out there in the middle of that big old field? He wasn't about 20 yards from the road. Well, we went about 100 yards down the road, and the guy had built him a little barn out there beside his house.
Mm-hmm.
I seen something move. I said, Gary, what's that? Slow down. He slowed down. And sure enough, there's about 12 of them right behind his barn, his little fence row.
Uh-huh.
I seen one of them move his wings, slow down. There's about 10 or 12 of them right there. That's a good little flock of birds right there. There's two big gobblers in that bunch.
You bet. You bet.
We talked to them last week. That's their home range. I've seen those birds there, I guarantee you, 20, 30 times in the last 6 months. But that's right on the way to the grocery store.
They enjoy being together.
Yeah, I guess they about to split up, and the bachelor group's about to get busted up. Ain't it about time to start fighting over the girls?
The hens will start getting closer to the nest, and the gobblers will stay on the limb longer until he gets get some friends down underneath the tree.
Then you're talking about that big green egg. You ever heard of a Komodo Joe? Yeah, I got a buddy, Barry. Barry Underwood, good friend of mine. We've been buddies since we worked at Pine Isle together over in the 80s. He served in the formal dining room. I served in the casual dining room. And I got him to eating that deer meat, and he loves he'll take a ham and put it on that thing and inject it with grape jelly and wrap bacon around it and cook it real slow, and he got people to go to church with him.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no, they wouldn't eat deer meat. It was the last thing they had. About halfway through the meal, he'll tell them, well, that come off a deer Wade killed down there in South Georgia about 2 weeks ago. They don't like deer meat till they ate it. That same way with
That's
Gary.
That's exactly right.
Gary, we had one up here. We was right behind him. Me and Billy, guys got that place up there near you with that 20-acre lake on it. Me and Billy watched a brand new truck get hit by a big old doe. She might have weighed 200, 210.
Oh.
Well, we went and unloaded the car, come back and grabbed that doe and brought her over here. And I skinned her down the back and got the straps out of her head, and the front shoulders, they were done. I mean, it just pulverized them. But I got the hams off of it, got the loin off of it. I took that loin. We was watching one of the ball games, Georgia games, one of the playoff games. I took, marinated some of it in Dale's and marinated some of it in other stuff called Allegro. And I cooked some of it straight. Well, Gary didn't like it straight, but I gave him a piece of that cooked with a marinade on it. That's pretty good. What's that? I said, it's the same thing. You're kidding me. I'm like, nah, it's the same thing with a little bit different flavors on it. But people
we still enjoy venison also.
Yeah, me and Brady learned to soak the water out of it. You know, I learned from you, when you kill them, if you can leave the hide on them, it helps the breakdown, rigor mortis, tenderize the meat.
Correct.
Once you get it off, put it in cooler and soak the ice water off of it. Keep it half ice and water and drain it until there's no blood left in it. That makes a major difference in the flavor.
The skin actually is cellular breakdown.
Yeah, that's why you want to hang in the cooler for 2 or 3 days. When you kill them out there in South Georgia, it's too hot, that's why you want to hang them a few days, because it makes the meat better.
You bet.
All
right, buddy boy, you have a great weekend. I need to go.
I enjoy your show. Listen, I got a few notes here. I'll call you back next week. I enjoyed talking to them last week, and I'll give you a report back on a turkey hunting up here. I'm going to see if I can get Gil to take me over to his place. But I'm going back over there to catch me some more catfish. Them things sure was good fried up.
There you go. I'll catch you later, Wade. See you soon, pal. You bet. Here's quickly, let's do, he's been holding on for quite a few minutes. Let's talk to Richard in West Virginia. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning. Here's what I wanted to ask about.
This Hello, Richard.
I had a problem with fishing line. They talk about turning into a bird's nest. Now, I don't know if it's a reel or the line or what it is, but a lot of times when you cast out, it will turn what you call into a bird's nest. It just tangles up a lot. I just wonder, how can you eliminate that type of a situation from occurring?
Well, more than anything else, it's practice. But here's something that you can put on the line. There's two things. Number one, before you go fishing, go out and hook your line to a tree and walk back about 50 or 60 yards and stretch it out. And then reel it back up on the reel. And as you do that, spray on some reel, what's called reel magic. And what that does, moistens the monofilament so that it relaxes and it makes casting infinitely better.
So it doesn't make any difference what kind
reel
of
reel it back
you,
up.
You just put a...
No, well, I'm talking about a free spool bait casting reel. That's where you get your backlashes.
Yeah, is there any special type of line you should use or any, as long as you just hook it to a tree and pull it out and then put that reel magic on. That's all it counts. Don't make any difference what type of line.
Yeah, well,
monofilament.
And I would just tell you, I would recommend that you buy quality line. That's the most important thing you fish with. Yes, quality. Quality line.
Okay, whatever quality is. I don't know if it's a name brand or.
Well, quality, you know, Shakespeare, Strin, some name brand line.
Oh, okay.
Higher dollar line.
Use the reel magic, stretch down, put reel magic on.
Right. When you reel it back up, spray it every once in a while with reel magic, and it'll relax. And then never, ever store your monofilament line in the sun. It makes it degrade. It actually begins to rot.
Well, that's good advice. It's something
stiff.
I've always had a problem with, and now I guess I can solve it.
Give it a try, pal.
Okay, O'Neill. See you.
You bet. Thank you for calling, Richard. I always enjoy Richard's call. Let's see. Corey, can we start the Medal of Honor, sir? I think I've got time for it.
Honor, courage, and strength of character. These qualities are embodied by the recipients of the Medal of Honor. Now let's recognize this week's Medal of Honor recipient on O'Neill Outside.
Lieutenant John Fox, Italy, December 1944. On Christmas night, enemy soldiers gradually infiltrated the Italian town wearing civilian clothes, and by early morning the town was largely in hostile hands. Commencing with a heavy barrage of enemy artillery on December the 1944, an organized attack by uniformed German units began. Being greatly outnumbered, most of the United States infantry forces were forced to withdraw from the town, but Lieutenant Fox and some other members of his observation party voluntarily remained on the second floor of the house to direct defensive artillery fire. After 4 hours, Lieutenant Fox reported that the Germans were in the streets and attacking in strength. He then called for defensive artillery fire to slow down the enemy advance. As the Germans continued to press the attack towards the area that Lieutenant Fox occupied, he adjusted the artillery fire closer to his position. Finally, he was warned that the next adjustment would bring the deadly artillery fire right on top of his position. After acknowledging the danger, Lieutenant Fox insisted that the last adjustment be fired, as this was the only way to defeat the attacking soldiers. Later, when a counterattack retook the position from the Germans, Lieutenant Fox's body was found with the bodies of approximately 100 German soldiers. Lieutenant Fox's gallant and courageous actions at the supreme sacrifice of his own life contributed greatly to delaying the enemy advance until other infantry and artillery units could reorganize to repel the attack. His extraordinary actions were in keeping with the most cherished traditions of military service and reflect the most credit on him, his unit, and the United States Army. Lieutenant John Fox, Italy, 1944. He died that day. It's 50 after the hour, and this is O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. We're running out of time here. Let's get the radio prize package question out there. And here's your radio. Now, here are the rules, and I'm going to stick with these rules now. If you've ever won a prize package before, you are ineligible. And we keep the email addresses, so don't be cute, all right? Leave it for somebody else. The radio prize, you have to be 18 years old and not won before. The radio prize package consists of a Bojangles gift card, a Big Green Egg koozie kit, an Angler magazine, a DNR Rigs magazine, Georgia State Parks guide, a can of Fisher's Choice baits, a selection of True Turn tackle, an Arctic Ice travel pack, that's good, a Moon Phase clock forecaster from Game and Fish, and a Hydro Shot glass from Works Tools. And here is the question, and you'll only know this, that's the way we designed this. You will only know the answer to these questions if you are a listener to the show. So the question is, kind of funny, where did O'Neill and Gail meet? Where did I first know Gail Williams? Where did we meet? It's 52 after the hour right now, 404-872-0750-800-972-8255. You're listening to O'Neill Outside. We give stuff away, don't we? That makes it fun. And we're still into, we've had some great recommendations. French dressing on kebabs. Yes, indeed. Cooking on venison on the Big Green Egg. Mm-hmm. With lots of different flavorings. Hey, it's good. And what the last time we served anybody up here, I cooked a Boston butt on the Big Green Egg for 18 hours. It was good. Ribs are good there, too. Just don't overcook them, okay? It's 52 after the hour, 53 now. And we'll have the answer to the radio prize packets, I'm sure, in a few minutes. And the question was, where did O'Neill and Gail first meet? And there are a bunch of calls right there. I'm sure that answer is among those calls. We do appreciate you guys being partners in the show. It would be tough for me to just talk for 2 hours every day, and we learn things from each other through our calls, don't you think? And I can always tell you, it's my opinion, the more you know, fishing, hunting, camping, hiking, whatever, the more you know. The radio prize package is still floating around out there sometime, and I'll give you a little bit of help. A lot of people are calling in and saying that Gail and I met in high school. That's close, but not quite right. I want you to win the radio prize package. I don't want to hold it over. I'd rather give it away. It's 57 after the hour. That's Wade still listening. And so... I want to give an illustration, if I can, if I've got time to do this. We wonder where all of our monies go for our licenses and tags and permits and excise taxes on our sporting goods. Here's a short list. I'll get to a little bit of it. From the Georgia Department of Natural Resources and Wildlife Resources Division, acquisition of 105,000 acres for conservation and recreation, another 290,000 acres protected for conservation, partners and easements, prescribed fire and invasive species control, surveys and monitoring that helped rare amphibians, bats, plants and birds. Benefits to recover listed species. It goes on and on and on. And we're not going to give away the radio prize package. We'll ask another one next week. The answer was, and I think we're good for not doing this at this time, the answer was we met in grammar school in the sixth grade. She was beautiful then, and she still is. This is O'Neill. Take a kid fishing this week. It's warm enough. Give it a try. Oh, gosh, I got some time left. Okay, and maybe, I'm sorry, I can't read the clock. And once I get some experience doing this, I'm supposed to be out in another 40 seconds. So I won't do it. The last thing from the DNR and the Wildlife Resources Division, your money goes to landowner technical assistance programs. In other words, it's all good. License fees, excise taxes, all of those things. And I know I fouled up the last part of this program, and I apologize for that. I'm not a radio guy, okay? I'm just a fisherman and hunter. But you keep this in mind. If you're too busy to go fishing, and especially now with spring break coming, then you're too busy. Take a child fishing. Great separation from the public. I'll see you next week.
With Chime's secure credit card, you can start improving your credit scores with everyday purchases and regular on-time payments. Get started at Chime.com/build. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. Results may vary. See Chime.com for details. Terms and conditions apply. Go to Chime.com/disclosures for details.